4 years, it'll be interesting. The Houston wildcard game, the AFC championship against the Chiefs, 13 second sets, you know, three devastating playoff losses.
No doubt.
In a row. You know, I'd forgotten how they blew that lead against the Texans, too. I mean, that
I know
game,
who didn't forget. Terry.
But that would be four. I mean, we're kind of jumping the gun here, but this AFC is loaded. It's going to be, I guess if you're the Bills, what you're hoping is like the AFC West kind of cannibalizes itself and they just like beat each other up all year. You know, the AFC North, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm not there with the Browns and Deshaun Watson.
I'm not there yet either.
I think the Bengals will be really good with Joe Burrow.
The
Ravens are always good that we talked about on the last show.
There's going to be plenty. We know the good teams with the quarterback.
It's very realistic that they could have another playoff loss. He's going to have.
Don't let it be at home. If it was at home, here's.
It would define him as a head coach. If to do it again, if it doesn't already, it would. He would be Marty Schottenheimer and then some. Marty Schottenheimer never had a Josh Allen. You know, these coaches that just fall up short.
Sometimes it's be careful what you wish for, right, Matt? Like, everybody knows you have to have that franchise quarterback as a head coach. Once you get him, we talk about this all the time, but now the pressure has shifted to you as the coach because it's always, you always have that out. Man, if I just had a quarterback, if I just had him, well, you have him. Now it's on you. And Terry knows it. They all know it. And it is. It's on
Bean
McDermott.
Bean found him, too. Brandon Bean found him.
We talk about this, too, Matt. Christmas list for Terry Pegula. Josh Allen's number one. Brandon Bean's number two for the gift list. Terry's not sure about Sean right now. Like, I want to give you a gift, but.
And so for people who don't know, Matt wrote an incredible story on how Brandon Bean and Joe Shane kind of.
I don't think there's
the
been a story.
For quarterback.
Matt, that story as a scout. As a former scout, that was awesome because Joe, I know Joe Shane, you know, from my scouting days. And I love that story because I want people to know the work that goes into that. And that was cool that they let you kind of, you know, tail along. It was cool.
Yeah. It's wild to, you know, I give Brandon Bean a tremendous amount of credit for being accessible and open about his process.
Agreed.
There's not that many people that do it.
He's been awesome in the media. Awesome.
It's one of those things where you look at it and you say, Brandon Bean has, you know, if there's a good idea and there's something that he's game for, he's open to it. And
yeah, if you're confident,
how is it hurting?
No doubt. If you're confident in what you do for a job, yeah, come watch me.
Which
the guys that aren't confident make up excuses like 13 seconds.
What's funny is I pitched the same story to when Doug Whaley was the GM, and it was shut down quicker than
What the hell, Jim?
You could ever imagine. Bring it up.
It probably
never got
to Doug. It probably
no.
Never
bring
got
it up because I'll tell you right now. Do you remember it or no? Do you remember like the what did you want to talk? No, I'm agreeing with you.
No,
I'm sure that
I pitched it to Birchtold was the problem. You know, it never
what
got
was
to
it,
Doug
what was
Whaley,
it though? What was oh to follow follow
to
follow, Doug?
Yeah to because
Doug would not have cared at all.
Syracuse was playing Clemson, and I think, you know, I was like, oh, they must be driving down there. You know, it's just 2 hours.
Game? Was that the big upset game?
No, it was a couple of years before
that. Go ahead.
Clemson crushed them.
Okay.
But it was one of those days where it's like, this seems like a low leverage scouting day, right? Where clearly you're just going to watch some great players. It's not like, but that was the difference. Different PR guy, different, you know, where Doug Whaley never really got a chance to be himself and show who he was because
you've said it many times over.
And Matt knows that.
I wish the world could see Doug Whaley for who he was. You know what I mean?
Matt did stuff with our boy Smoke Dixon, and you know enough to know Doug would have done that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, and that's where like, you know, I understand. I guess you know people who are like, look, if I you know, like Belichick. Typically doesn't have the time of day for a lot of stuff because, you know, what do I have to gain? But Brandon Bean, you know, I think was pretty smart to be open and accessible, and it didn't hurt him, right? It didn't mean he, you know, he is, I think, mindful of not wanting to be the guy who says, look at me, look at how great I did doing this, you know. He doesn't think he's doing something that other people aren't doing.
He doesn't come across that way.
He's just willing to be a human being and share, bring the fans closer to how he's doing the job. And it makes him look even better when you can go back to those stories, like Tyler said, and you can go back to the story on how they, you know, went about scouting Josh, and you can say, wow, like, look at all these little things that they did that look really smart. Now, if that were the exact same story, you know, you guys probably went through a pretty exhaustive process to land on EJ Manuel, no less exhaustive, but you don't get the right guy, or you're pressured into the wrong guy. And people can pull up those quotes and say, well, look at what an idiot. That's the risk you're taking, I guess. But it shows that story and so many others. I mean, I remember when Taron Johnson made that interception in the Ravens game to take them to the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago, kind of a bumpy up and down type of career for him. Joe Shane went out to Weber State, watched him live, because they have a belief that if you're going to take a guy in the first four rounds, you better have seen him live. Either Brandon or Joe had to have seen him live, basically, for them to take him in the first four rounds. And he saw, you know, he made a detour on his trip after, I think, watching Josh, watching Harrison Phillips and somebody else. You know, funny enough, all these guys end up on the team, but he goes up to Weber State to scout this corner. And it's like, you know, those are fun stories, because you log a ton of miles as a scout. You do a lot of thankless BS and put up with a ton of nonsense, terrible job security, low pay for so many years, time away from loved ones. And when you get to the point that Joe and Brandon and those people are at, like, you should, you know, celebrate some of those wins. And not all of them are going to be wins, but
they aren't.
But when you go through that type of process, I think you're probably going to have a few more wins than you're not. And, you know, I love that they let me tag along that one day on the scouting trip, because it really showed me, like, that's as much access as you could possibly give. And there was really nothing to lose. I didn't, you know, people were like, oh, I'm going to be paying extra close attention to your mock drafts in the fall. And I'll say, okay, great. Like,
Do you go seven rounds? Do you go UDFAs?
Well, it's like, I appreciate
that. That's the key. If you could do seven rounds, you officially know.
But think about it. So I appreciate the sentiment. Like, by all means, follow my draft coverage more closely because I went on a scouting trip with these guys
today.
But think about what I saw. I saw, oh, Brandon Bean and Joe Shane scouted Alabama LSU. Hey. So they're going to take a guy from Alabama or LSU. They actually only ended up with Levi Wallace. But point being, there was probably, 40 NFL guys on the field? Like, how am I supposed to know who they're watching? They don't know who they're going to get. It's the fall. Same with Ole Miss, South Carolina. Yeah, were there a few guys that stood out? I think Debo Samuel was on the field. Brian Edwards was there. Some good players. But A.J. Brown, they end up with Dawson Knox. And Brandon Bean kind of, you know, was like, hey, look, we got one. Like, you know, he said to me after, like, that trip wasn't a total waste. But that's what I kind of realized going on that trip, was like, yeah, you could take me on the road. Like, these guys are going to see everybody. They might be going there. And he made this point. He's like, I might be going there to cross somebody off my list. Like, right. I see him up close and
just as important.
You guys are like speaking to in my wheelhouse, but also, there's such a community. I wish a lot of scouts could listen to this right now, but that live thing is hilarious. Not in a good way. When I say hilarious, it's so meaningful. I can remember watching Cam Newton play against Tennessee Chattanooga.
And strange country.
It was one of those games. I was going to bring that up. Matt's favorite player. But I went there not to see Cam Newton. I just went there to the game. It followed in my schedule. It just fell right. Wanted to see some
Buddy
guys.
Nix. He was like, I'll let you go on the road.
I was with the Saints. If you go to Chad. I was with the Saints. Jim at the time.
Yeah, you weren't on the EJ Manuel.
I wasn't on the EJ trail.
I should interject.
I have to always say that. Although,
anyway. We had EJ on. We like EJ.
But I remember a scout. I didn't. And I love EJ, though. And that was probably one of the best podcasts in the history of podcasts.
Yeah, that was incredible.
EJ and I mean, I told EJ flat out, like, yeah, man, you had no chance once the new regime came in. But I can remember going up to the press box after pregame warmups. That's where scouts are down there on the field and you're watching things. And there's a scout from the Giants. I won't give his name. old veteran scout that I always respected, but he said to me, did you see that quarterback throwing the ball? He can't, you know, he can't hit anything. And I'm like, wow. My take was, yeah, I've never seen anybody look like that in my life. I don't really care right now about his accuracy. I've never seen anybody like this. Like talking about Cam. I'm like, I've never seen a quarterback like
this.
That's
amazing.
And I remember going through the draft meetings, and Coach Payton wasn't a huge fan of Cam Newton because of other things, of how he wanted his franchise quarterback to be. And fair enough, I'm not going to disagree with anything he said. My point was, look, as a scout, I'm just telling you guys, I've never seen anything like this. You can fine tune it if you want. If he can't do this, can't do that. I know, I just have never seen anything like it. But that I'm going to give you one more example of a quarterback that I saw live that on the other end was Jay Cutler, who I loved on tape, right? Loved him. I went to his game. That damn body language that we all saw and made him famous for the, you know, his show on E and everything after his career, that bad body language, I saw it. And I talked to him about it at the combine when we interviewed him. I remember saying to him, like, I mean, his body language coming off a bad series even at Vanderbilt. I mean, he looked like he was angry at people and blaming people. And it didn't concern me enough to say, no, you got to look at this guy.
But here's where
it led. Coach Payton, that draft, looks at Matt Leiner, Jay Cutler, Vince Young. Coach Payton's looking at those guys, and he's not getting any kind of consensus, this is our guy. Coach Payton's like, hey, guys, we're going after Drew Brees. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with rookies. If we can go get this guy, I know he has an injury, but I know who he is. I know everything about him mentally. I know what he's capable of if he's healthy. I'll take that chance. That is
that
how we got
Drew elimination
Brees.
Is huge.
Coach Payton didn't like any of those quarterbacks. Enough.
And I think that quarterback piece is probably as big as any for live viewings because of what you just said, the body language part of it. I know Brandon Bean and Joe Shane both mentioned that was a huge part of the 2018 process for them because they knew – I mean, it really started when Brandon Bean sat down for his interview for the job. You know, he had a rough sketch of like.
Was that during our – did they at least interview him after our draft? Or was that like during the draft? Like
Jim was had a celebratory beer.
I always said Brian Gutekis interviewed. He interviewed before the draft. I found out later that Gutekis interviewed. I'm like, shit.
Do you want to say when you got the phone calls from
people? Well, I know that. Yeah. They know. Sean gave it. Yeah, we got fired the next day. But point being was they were anyway. They were interviewing. I think they were interviewing while we were running the draft. But that's all right.
Yeah, the whatever. Whenever they officially said.
Whenever they officially, right?
Yeah, you know, on the yacht or wherever. Brandon did say
on the pod
where
it
took
place. We'll bring Brandon on.
We are pro Bills. I mean, have I ever said one bet? Bean hasn't. In my opinion, I think he is one of the best GMs, and I think he's done a great job. I don't criticize anything they've done. Now, I will say that they got the quarterback right, and it helps.
He found him.
I give credit to that.
But that year, that was a big, big thing was like – and, you know, they didn't come out and say this, and they didn't, you know, on or off the record have never said this to me, but look at who was drafted in that class. And I don't even know how, you know, exactly the board was stacked. Was Josh number one? Maybe he wasn't. But how big a deal? How big a deal was body language when you're dealing with Baker Mayfield, but less so Baker and more so Josh Rosen? I think that was a big piece for him. The guy that a lot of people, myself included, thought like this guy is, you know, as good as any in this bunch. And, you know, a lot of people would have said he should be the consensus guy over Josh Allen. But I think the body language piece and the, you know, outside of, you needed to turn the tape off and go meet him and go be around him and go feel him on the field and all the weird stuff scouts say, you know, you gotta body type him. You gotta size him up. You gotta
so
feel
true,
him.
Though. It's so true. I love you guys.
But with him, that was, I think a big piece. They had to. They got real close to the field for that USC UCLA game. They weren't up in the press box watching that one. They got real close to the field to kind of, you know, unique opportunity. You have both those quarterbacks there, right? Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. So it's like, let's get as close as we can and feel what these guys are about to their teammates in between series, the whole thing. You're not seeing that on tape, on the broadcast, on any of it. And it just goes to show, like, these guys were ready. They were laser focused on the one thing. Like Jim has said it multiple times on this episode. Like, if you don't have the quarterback, you know, that's the piece. So like when Brandon Bean got there, it was like, let's make sure we're doing absolutely everything to get this quarterback. We're going to bring we'll bring freaking David Culley on the plane and take him out to dinner for these privates, because we're bringing it all these people, you know, we're bringing everybody. We're leaving nothing unturned. And, you know, well,
if I'm trying to find a quarterback, so I need Culley's perspective.
Hey, but to real quick though, to Jake, I wanted to, it just hit me when we were talking about this with the players, but Jay Cutler, to just tell you how much they do pay attention to shit. So I'm at his pro day in Nashville at Vanderbilt. And, you know, players get to know scouts that, you know, you spend time with these guys. So they know your face. They know. And obviously we were picking high and knew we were going to probably taking a quarterback with the Saints. Cutler, we had just signed Breeze in free agency. So their pro day, you know, was after that. And Cutler comes up to me and I had my Saints shirt on and he remembered me and he's like, why the fuck are you here? Like, you guys just signed Breeze. You don't want me now. He was like, he was pissed off. He thought he was, you know, he thought really and he was right. He was in the mix for that second pick of the draft. To him, that signing of Breeze just cost him money. And he was right. Not at the end of the day, he was fine. But, you know,
he said it like that.
He looked at me like, what the fuck are you here? You know, but he was, but I love that about Cutler because that was him. He was always that. Like,
I was going to say,
that was my favorite thing about
even
him.
Even if he's an asshole, I kind of love it.
I loved it about him.
Give me that over somebody who is,
you don't know,
obsessing over how I'll tell you who I didn't. Every second.
And you know who that would
broadcast
be for me would be Trubisky. Where, as I just didn't know if he really believed in himself. Where Cutler was like, look, I know I'm good enough. You just, you know, you signed that guy. I know you're not like you messed up. You could have taken me too.
That's not a bad point. I mean, I got to know Trubisky pretty well, and like
he didn't have that
worked at it.
I'm the man.
Almost to the extreme, like he was really trying to study leadership and reading that book, Captain's Class. And he went above and beyond trying to research how to relate and like, which you can't fault him. I think that it's impressive.
No, because a lot of
teammates liked him as a person.
It wasn't even that, right?
But it's got to be natural, right? And for better or worse, Jay Cutler was natural. He was himself.
He was who he was his whole, but he never changed from Bandy to wherever he went. I always liked him for that.
And that's a big Josh Allen thing, isn't it? I mean, that guy's comfortable in who he is.
What do we say? We say that all the time, Matt. We sit here and say, I've never heard – there's not one thing I don't love about him. His press conferences.
What's interesting is there were non-Bill scouts leading after that draft that said, you know, we met this guy – we had a private with him, or, you know, we had a combine visit and he was like kind of a dork. Like, I'm not sure if he's like the alpha type that you really want leading. He kind of came off like a little nervous, a little weird, a little bit of a dork. What's so interesting about scouting is you can have one team that sits there and says that, which is 100% true about Josh. And Brandon Bean and them saw that and found it endearing. They were like, this is who this guy is. He was nervous. Brandon Bean pointed that out multiple times. The first time they met him at the Senior Bowl, he was really nervous. And they thought, you know, this is interesting. But Brandon Bean took it as like, this guy really cares. And like, this guy is, and then the next time he was more comfortable. And the time, you know, they met him again and he was even more comfortable. All of a sudden he's like owning the table and like being himself and opening up. And so, whereas a couple of area scouts that met him for 25 minutes at the combine said, this guy's a dork. He, you know, he's not comfortable. He's not commanding the room. Brandon Bean, you know, peels back the layers, as I'm sure a lot of teams did, but he's just a guy who is comfortable with who he is. And I think teammates really like him for that reason. And I think there were people that questioned whether he could be that guy in the room because he wasn't your typical Jay Cutler asshole type, but it's worked out because he's him. And then he grows and matures, and now he's a man. He's not the same kid coming out of Wyoming that was nervous and tripping over his own feet. He's grown into himself and found who he is even more.
You wouldn't believe the overthinking that goes into a player. When we drafted Trey White, Sean McDermott was on the phone with LSU's coaches, you know, like 2 weeks maybe before the draft. And we were talking about Adams, the safety, and Trey White, you know, talking about those guys. And Sean got off the phone and he looked at us, and Adams was like off the charts, everything, you know. And Trey was, for us, was off the charts too. But here's what sold kind of Sean and all of us was, I don't know the exact coach that Sean talked to at LSU at the time, but he told Sean that Trey White was every bit of a dog, if not more, than Jamal Adams. And Sean was like, hey, for a corner to have that type of, you know, that type of character too, like that really made us feel good about Trey. Obviously Jamal went a lot higher, but it's the overthinking. And then I'll one more story on the overthinking. Jyrie Evans from the Saints, who I, you know, my dad coached at Bloomsburg, I scouted. We drafted in the fourth round. And when they asked me about him, I've known him his whole life as a freshman, all that. I said, yeah, you know what? If we take him, it's going to take some time. You know, he played Division II. He played right tackle. We're going to bump him to guard. You know, he hasn't done a lot of pass pro at his level and his offense, blah, blah, blah. I was overthinking everything. He started at right guard as a rookie and is now in the Saints Hall of Fame and will probably be in Canton at someday. Like, that's how much you can overthink things, where I'm like, he needs a year to learn. You know, that as a, I knew Jyrie more than anybody. And I said, he's going to need a year. Started as a rookie, never missed a game.
Look at Ozzie Newsome with Baltimore, right? We were just talking about last week, where if you have those instincts,
sometimes
you don't overthink it, and you just trust what you see.
It's right there in front of you if you can trust it, and really, and the scouts know these guys. And I love
you need conviction. I can talk. You need to have the conviction. I think it's one of the interesting things about the draft as it plays out. You know, you mentioned Belichick trades down and everybody thinks he's a genius. And part of that, I think, is Belichick's conviction in the fact that the more picks he has, the better off he is. And, you know, he's going to find the good mid-round values and he doesn't need the high pick, whatever. But you go to Brandon Bean and he comes out and says it and says, if there's a player sticking out and all I need to do is move up two or three spots to get a player I'm excited about, as opposed to somebody I'm not, I'm going with the guy I have conviction on. And when I did that story following him around on the scouting trip, that's what became clear to me. Like, Brandon Bean didn't have the traditional, like, area scout upbringing.
Yeah.
And I think he has a chip because of that. But he also mentioned that, you know, he mentioned that if he's going to, like, he has this job, right? He's the general manager of an NFL team. Not a lot of people get to do that. And he's like, if I'm going to have this job and I'm going to do it, and I'm like, if I'm going to fail, I'm at least going to fail with guys that I had conviction about, that I saw up close, that I did the work, that I went through the right process. At least that way I know, like, I did this thing. And I think that's, I think honestly, it probably makes that scouting staff, that front office, enjoy it. Like, I imagine working for him is very rewarding because he includes a lot of people. And he's the type of guy who goes out and walks the walk, doesn't take himself too seriously, puts in the work.
Yeah.
And he's willing to say, look, we went through all these meetings. I made these scouts sit here for hours on end telling me every, you know, little thing about this guy's brother and this guy's dad and where he grew up and how many times he got busted for pot. And we set this board and we said Kair Elam is the last first round grade and we're sitting here two picks. Yeah, should they have given up a fourth? I don't know what the chart says. It probably wasn't a good value, but
doesn't matter.
I at least respect the reasoning of saying, look, this guy was sticking out, and if we were going to wait and get a guy we weren't pumped about, like, I'd rather go get the guy. And
Matt,
I think people probably like that.
In the building. Summed up if area scouts could listen to this podcast, that is incredible. And not to mention the amount of time area scouts are away from their families, and for the GM to value the area scout. Mickey Loomis for the Saints did that with us. It makes you okay with everything you're doing. And hey, I'm listening to you. I'm valuing what you're saying. Whether or not we agree, I'm listening. And man, it goes a long way. And if those scouts believe in Brandon Bean like that, that's the key to a front office. It really is. They have to buy into the GM. They have to buy into the GM is going to at least listen to what you're saying. If they think what they're saying is in one ear, out the other, you're going to lose them. I'm not going to lie. It happened to us in Buffalo for a lot of reasons. I could see it with the scouts. I could see it. They knew it didn't. They were like, man, you guys don't even, the situation was so bad that I could tell they knew it was bad, and they didn't give the effort, you know, that we needed from them. And it was our fault too.
Which is just saying. Gonna affect everything.
They're the scouts. Nobody understands it. Matt, Tyler, you guys do. Area scouts are the backbone. Yeah. You don't know who they are, but they're the backbone. It's true.
It's more of a private investigator type of role.
Matt, it's so true. And every GM that, and I'm sorry, I want you, but every GM that respects those area scouts, I promise you, if you study those drafts and those teams, they're good. Whether or not, well, the quarterback always makes a difference.
Look at the New York Giants. They're going from a front office with Dave Gettleman that was a shit show. In just about every way. Assholes need not apply sign on the desk.
But they had a good firing, for a long time.
Good football people. Right. You bring in Brandon Bean's right hand man, Joe Shane, and he's bringing his own people now. He's trying to rebuild.
They did what
everything
we said
that we're talking about.
Yep.
A well-oiled machine of a scouting department.
The Giants need to get the quarterback. They need to strike gold.
Doesn't that show you though too that just popped into my head as you're talking about it, how much of a mess it was under Dave Gettleman.
Oh,
doesn't that just show you that maybe there are times that we draw too close of, like, a lot of people would have said like, oh, Brandon Bean came from the Dave Gettleman tree, right? Like,
right.
They barely work together.
Point being, like, we probably draw too many lines like that, right? Now, like, very fair to do it with Joe Shane and Brandon Bean, because
Joe and Brandon worked together. And Joe was an area scout. Brandon was the cap guy and did some scouting.
And they were really
tight. They have a history, like, tight,
you know, and worked really closely in Buffalo. But like
100%.
Just because you were in the same building with a guy or you were some guy's quarterback's coach, like, doesn't mean you're going to run your building the exact same way that he does. In fact, maybe sometimes you look and say, gee, Dave isn't that fun to work for. When I get to do it, I'm going to do it this way, you know? And
right.
I think, you know, he's really not. There were, I think, times where Gettleman, you know, I think Brandon Bean covered some things up sometimes in Carolina, some blind spots that Gettleman had for cap stuff and things like compensatory picks, times that, you know, some of these old school football guys just, you know, think they know the.
You have such a great point though, Matt. Like, we were all judged off of our relationships with our editors or our bosses or our associates. Like,
right, it's all
very different. Like, think anybody listening out there, think about if you were like, if everybody tied your identity to who you worked with, it would probably drive you insane. I'd love to get Brandon Bean in an honest moment on Dave Gettleman. That'd be great. Let's bring him on.
I do think they get along, from what I understand. I've actually spoken with Dave. He's a Boston guy.
People say he's great outside of work. Even the people I talk to who are extremely critical of Dave Gettleman say, my family had dinner with his family. It was great. And then we got into the office and then we worked together day to day and it was hell. He's such a fascinating front office exec, GM. There's a lot of layers there, but yeah, he ran the Giants into the ground.
It's like, what can you do? Hey, happens to the best of us, right?
We're drinking a little juice box, boy, double IPA at Hamburg Brewing Company.
You know, you guys, why you guys are so good at your professions and careers, because you do the work to dive into more than the headliners, as I call them, the head coach, the quarterback, right? That's the headliners. Everybody wants to talk to those guys. But for you guys to do the deep dives into the scouting part of it, you're going to find out how things happen. Like, I mean, obviously we've talked about it on this pod.
Well, it takes relationships, conversations, right?
I mean, the stories. And
willingness
just,
of people like right. you to talk about it.
Well, not everybody wants to because, yeah, but it's just incredible to see it from the fall to the draft and to see the turns, the changes. And I liked him. I didn't like him. I got a call from this guy. I got a call from this guy. It's just like unbelievable. The drama that goes on up till draft day, up until that day when Coach Payton called Urban Meyer and couldn't get a hold of him if we wanted to draft Aaron Hernandez or not.
Which
and it I led can't to
let
Jimmy
a,
Graham.
I can't let an episode pass if I don't plug the book, Jim. I just can't.
You see how I segue, Matt? You see how I'm getting good at the segue? Like,
let's just say that may or may not be in the blood and guts how tight ends save football. And let's just say Jim Monas may or may not have been a character involved in this book.
I just love the drama.
Can confirm
and love the drama of drafts. And you guys do everybody that loves football and reads you guys give them the inside stuff like that, that it's not just the coaches and quarterbacks. There's so much that goes into it.
Well, there's people, and let me just blow a little smoke up Matt's ass here because he won't do it himself. But like Matt is one of the rare beat writers who is driven through that prism. Like you can just, I mean, we hit it off right away on the beat.
Because you guys we want to know the stories. Yeah.
But I feel like we would talk about the job, talk about the team, and it was like our juices got flowing. No. Matt's wired the same way. And it's, I don't know. I mean, there's people out there who do a good job, but I feel like a lot of people who cover the NFL, they just kind of like being part of the NFL. Let me just wear my nice suit in the press box. Let me take a picture for Instagram. Let's all just be excited that we're here and we're a part of the party. And they don't want to dig. They don't want to investigate. They don't want to do the deep dive. It's just, let me just spit out this gamer and, you know, maybe I say something witty to Aaron Rodgers at a press conference and maybe I can tweet about it and maybe I can be part of this all. And then you get all the retweets, you get all the likes, and you go on your merry way. Matt's not wired like that. And that's why we have him on here. And that's why he's one of my best friends.
You guys would be great area scouts if you had that passion. You guys would be incredible area scouts. Like I'm not in a position to ever get that job as a GM, but I honestly, if you guys wanted to do it, I would hire you guys in a heartbeat. Like,
let's go.
It's
kind of a similar, there's crossover between being a reporter and being an area scout.
Man.
Like you
no
need
question.
Sources, you need contacts, you need sources, people to trust
big,
you.
Think, you know, like who can I talk to other than the head coach who's just going to say he's great.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. You need to think of
who are you
going
to talk to? Yes. Who are you going
to
find?
You're trying to put together the story of who that player in person is. Yes. A fraction of it is how good is he at football? But frankly, the general manager is going to tell you what he thinks about how good he is at football anyways. And his opinion matters the most. That's a piece of it, but who is he as a person? Who is he as a locker room guy? Not every GM is going to be able to get that on their own. They lean on the area guy to tell them, okay, you know, yeah, you could have your 25 minutes at the combine or your private interview or whatever, where you think you're getting the full character. But the real, you know, you spot Justin Blackman, right? You know, I'm sure some area scouts have Justin Blackman stories about, you know, red flags that were there.
No question.
You know, you spot things with different, you know, not, I don't know, not to throw Justin. I don't know. That's the first name that popped into my head.
No, I love
apologies,
that you brought his name
apologies
up. No,
to Justin
I was
Blackman.
I don't know. That was the first thing I was thinking. I was like, why did you?
But that's like an area. For you. That's like an area scout type of find, you know, where you dig some stuff up and you say, I don't know if we want to, you know. Aaron Hernandez is an extreme example because
extreme.
I don't think area scout thought that was coming. Anybody?
No, you couldn't predict that, Matt, but it was.
But there were
the strange part was the unwillingness. It was the unwillingness of people to really talk about him. And then when Coach Payton reached out to Urban and couldn't get a response, it validated everything that I was dealing with at the University of Florida, where people gave you enough, but didn't want to say, like, look, I don't want
That's
to tell you.
Florida, though. I'm sorry. I get it. Urban Meyer and these coaches want to get their guys drafted. But at some point, your ass is on the line. Your reputation's on the line. Tell these teams, okay, but this is a bad person. Do not
draft. And that's the different. That's the difference between area scouts and reporters is I can understand coaches' motivation for being truthful and upfront as possible with area scouts. Sometimes that's easier to decipher with a reporter. It's like, sometimes I wonder, like, why is this person talking to me? Some people just want the truth out there, right? They just want the story to be told. But I think people are a bit more hesitant with reporters than area scouts for probably good reason. You know, there's more to gain from being honest with an area scout because, hey, who knows? Maybe you're the position coach at Oklahoma State. You're the GA at Oklahoma State, and you've got some intel on a player. And Jim Monas is hanging out at your campus. And in a couple of years, Jim Monas might have an internship open, or he might have something open, and he's going to remember that guy that was honest with him. Or you're Urban Meyer, and you just have a reputation. Well, it's a bad example because he probably doesn't have that reputation.
No, but no, you're good. You're a head good. Coach. What you're saying is true. Yeah.
You're a head coach, and you're.
Urban would tell the people
your reputation is you're going to get a straight answer on these guys. You're going to get, right. And they're going to come back to your program and want to, you know,
they want
to
get their guys paid too, to an extent though. Right?
Well, that's definitely true, but I'm saying I can see the motivation. Right. If you're, that should be a logical motivation for some coaches to say, I want as much as possible, these guys to come back and know they're getting a fair shake. Not everybody's like that. I'm sure there's a lot of college coaches, especially probably, you know, some of these smaller schools, it's probably a little bit tougher. They're like, geez, this is our chance to get a guy out there.
Yeah,
they don't sell anybody out, Matt. You're exactly right.
No surprise that nobody had anything but glowing things to say about Cole Strange. Now, I think it's because Cole Strange is that type of guy. He's just
he probably is, right?
You know, he's just a pretty clean, all about football, hardworking kind of guy. But he also went to Chattanooga, and Chattanooga doesn't get a lot of phone calls from NFL scouts most years. And you know, Jim Monas popped through one time to see Cam Newton, but
it fell right on the schedule.
But you know, like, so I don't know, motivations are different everywhere, but you know, I can see the motivation a little bit more when you're talking to the scouts because word gets around if you're not honest. And, you know, I think
no doubt
your word starts to mean less. And then when you do want to pump up a guy and you do want to help out one of your guys, like Ty's talking about, your word doesn't carry as much weight because you're sitting there saying, wow, Urban's gassing this guy up, but he also gassed up this guy last year and he was a dingus. So like, how can I, you know,
who do you
how
trust?
Can I trust them? So that's it's the same thing we do as reporters, right? The same thing we do where you have a guy that throws a quote at you or, you know, a source that tells you, man, like this guy's going to be great. And you start kind of forming your opinions based off that. And then it's totally off base and you realize, well, or, you know, we're all kind of doing the same thing in that regard.
And do you guys feel like the more you cover a beat, okay, and when I'm saying the beat, like I'm using that as an area for an area scout beat for you guys. The more you're on it, the more you get to know people, right?
Right.
And find out who do I need to talk to, or who is sniffing around, or who is that guy? They used to tell me that, you know, I remember when I first started scouting in the Southeast, that's a big deal in the area world, right? Oh, you're scouting. The Saints hired me as the Southeast area scout. I was the Northeast for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm going to the Southeast and they're like, it's going to take time. And it did. They looked at me and you guys may have experienced this before, but they looked at me like, who are you and what are you doing here watching our practice? Like, yeah, I know you're allowed to, but
everybody you work with is GM of a team.
Right. What are your credentials? Like, I know that guy. I know that guy. I've seen him on TV. Who are you? Because everybody's there. And
that's
it takes
me
time.
Right now coming to Boston. Right.
Did you feel that? Did you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I met Robert Kraft and, you know, he was, you know, saying like, oh, this guy came from Buffalo. Like, can we trust him? You know, like joking around and, you know, that's the way Robert Kraft is. But I think when I first got here, I mean, readers, I think Boston is the type of media market that the Southeast is for an area scout where
I agree.
It takes a lot of time to,
no doubt.
You know, break in. And I think, you know, to your point, like the longer you spend on it, that was one of the cool things that I probably took for granted at the end of my time on the Bills was I mentioned Taron Johnson making that big play, and I just like pull out my notebook and have all sorts of reporting on Taron Johnson because I've talked to him a bunch and I've talked to everybody who scouted him and the whole thing, and it's college coaches. And it's like, well, now I have all this stuff that's going to make my column sing that other people don't have because I've been here a long time. All of a sudden, like, it was like, wow, I've been here a while. Nobody on the field can make a play where I can't do that. I can't like pull out my notebook and say, all right, like, who is this guy? How did he get here? What is his story? What's the significance of him making the play? And it's the same as a scout when you're like, okay, that finally, let's say, I think Tennessee is probably a good example of the last 5 years or so. If you were in the Southeast, Tennessee for a while wasn't putting anybody in the league. It was weird. All of a sudden, like, they had this gap. But then let's say you've developed a relationship with the right person and a good player comes along and you have good access to intel, or they have some guy that's under the radar. That's where just having as many sources as possible, knowing as much as possible, so when you're ready for the moment. Did I know Taron? Did I do that work because I knew Taron Johnson was going to make the play? No. Do you make those relationships because you know that Lenore Ryan is going to turn out a guy like Kyle Duggar? No, but all of a sudden you took a guy's business card at one point and Lenore Ryan is in your area and you stop by every year because you never know, and you're being polite, but you're building relationships. And then they have Kyle Duggar and you're ahead of the game on the character and everything else. So it's very much the same game.
When I went, yeah, I'll do it.
On the flip side, I mean, you look at the New York Giants and
they stink.
Oh, we have a visitor. We're doing a little podcast here.
Yeah,
we are.
Do you love the Bills? Do you love Josh Allen?
I totally love the Bills.
Do you love Brandon Bean, the GM? Just say yes.
I love the Bills, yes.
There it is. Love the Bills. You did good.
You want to say hi? You can say hi. We've got a visitor here at Hamburg Brewing Company. Hi.
Did you love Hamburg beer?
Howdy.
No, I don't want to be.
Did you love the beer tonight?
No, my son might like you, though. Down the road.
How old is he?
Listen to a little go along.
He's a college kid who is... Right now, he just graduated from Edinburgh in sports and recreation.
PSAC. I'm Bloomsburg grad.
Oh, he's going.
I'm Bloomsburg grad.
He's going tomorrow. We're driving to Pennsylvania. He's running the 5K.
He is beautiful.
Running the 5K in Texas.
Cheers and congratulations. Yeah. He's brilliant. It's hard to get into the PSAC schools.
Well, he won. They won. He goes to Edinburgh.
I know. I went to Bloomsburg. I'm all about it. Yeah, we're all in the PSAC.
You don't win it.
Jim, I think you have a new co-host.
No, I'm talking about the education.
So tell me about your podcast.
we're live right now. Actually. You're on it.
You're
What's
on.
It about?
Football.
Yeah, we should probably get back to it.
The Bills.
Okay. Well, we're major Bills.
All right.
That's all that matters.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Tell him
to subscribe to Go Long and we'll consider him.
Go Long.
Go Long.
All right. Well,
there we go.
He's got a year and a half for his master's.
Tell him be friends with McDermott. He'll hire McDermott. Sean McDermott will hire him and then fire him. I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't on the air.
No, we're recording. We're recording, Jim.
We have the editor. Perfect. Joe Paterno. Great. No, we're cutting all this.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it in, I think.
Did I just ruin the podcast?
All right.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to have fun.
All right. So.
Sorry, Matt.
Little did I know, saying New York Giants would just ignite.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Happen anything happens here, they're clearing out here in Hamburg.
Yeah,
so
we got
to make
out.
This point quick. To this point, I'm listening to your area scouts though. So, the Giant series I did, I forgot this. I had to just pull it up. Marcus Cooper is the Southeast scout.
I know very well,
you know him well. When I was talking to
Bills
my Giant sources,
yeah, Bill's guy, yeah, that's right. He was there.
He was telling Gettleman, telling the Giants, DeAndre Baker is bad news. Do not draft this guy. I just pulled up the story. People can read it if they want. He'd call Baker on FaceTime and ask if he was working out, you know, randomly. And Baker just wouldn't even answer his phone. you know, again.
That's
like these little things that kept adding up. And he's this area scout. He's you know, a certain place on that totem pole, but he wasn't listened to. And so what did the Giants do? They took Baker. I believe they traded up to number 30 in the first round to take DeAndre Baker. They passed on so many guys. I mean, you can go right down the list. And I think Deebo Samuel, I think that was that draft, right? DK Metcalf, AJ Brown.
It's always that one player.
I mean, you can play that game all day long. Right. I get it. But they should not have drafted somebody that the area scout was telling them not to draft. And I think the teams that take those opinions into consideration,
I agree,
are going to be ahead of the game. And it seems like Brandon Bean has kind of struck that balance. But
I hope both of you guys continue to do what you do and dig, you know, try to reach those area scouts, because they'll give you, they won't sell people out. You know, they'll give you what you need, but they know. Area scouts know. Area scouts know what's going on with the players. With the players.
Matt, that was a pleasure.
Matt, that was awesome, man. It was good catching up.
Always. Awesome. Good to see you guys. Hopefully we'll see you in person.
We got the birthday card in the mail, by the way. We got it in the mail, baby. Nolan.
It's crazy. 1 year coming up.
Yeah.
Wild. Time flies.
Matt, we're all fathers. We're all tired.
I mean, on Twitter, I was selling this as a Patriots Bills toddler podcast.
So I like that. The toddler.
We waited a while to get into the toddler talk, but we need to devote an hour to how to raise these little rugrats.
I can't contribute. I don't know how to raise kids.
When does somebody become a toddler? That was a question I had. Some people say it's a year, but I really feel like our little guy here has entered it a little early. I think he's ahead of the curve, is what I'm saying.
I think it is whatever you decide it to be. Right.
I think you just look at him one day and you're like, this little guy is a toddler.
Because he's a little ahead of Sonny, but I feel like Sonny is entering toddlerhood now. He's crawling everywhere.
I think he's a month older. Nolan's like pulling himself up on stuff.
That's what I was going to say. I think when the movement starts, I feel like toddler enters the phase.
It's now, I'm on parental leave again and it's exhausting. I get to the end of the days and I'm just
there's
like
the word every spent. Time Tyler and I every time exhausting spent
not,
go through
not even the you know the you know sleeping at night and all that is
no
is
it's not that
fine it's just chasing him around all day and picking him
unbelievable.
Up and
it's unbelievable
making sure he's not you know pulling himself on you know stuff he's not supposed to and carrying him around he's heavy you know it's like I gotta get in shape
he's like a little dumbbell Just don't fall into the Coco Melon trap. Don't do it.
Haven't done it yet. Only thing that really he hasn't really taken to the television yet. We'll have on like sports in the background occasionally. And we had on hockey the one day and the goal horn went off and he started cracking up. So that's really the only time he's like interacted with the television.
For some reason, my son likes horse racing and the NBA playoff, but I can't figure out why.
That's what I keep saying. I'm like, oh, he really likes golf. I'm like,
golf.
I can't figure out why.
I think he likes golf because daddy's got a lot of money on Tom Hoagie this weekend. I don't know.
I always tell him on that horse race, whenever it ends, I say, okay, I'm going to turn the channel now. But that's the best part about it. You win or lose in 2 minutes. You don't have to waste your time waiting 3 hours.
Matt. You're the man. Great to see you.
That was fun,
everybody,
man.
Read Matt Fairburn's stories. Follow him on Twitter, everywhere. Let's do it again soon.
And Matt, enjoy your off season.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll do, fellas.
You guys
are
just like
me.
Scouts.
And
enjoy the off.
Hopefully we'll enjoy a beverage or two at Hamburg Brewing. We'll be back in about a month and a half ish for Nolan's birthday in Buffalo, and Hamburg Brewing will have to be at the top of our list for our tour to Buffalo.
We'll let McDermott know you're coming.
Sorry, man. I forgot to give him my address change. I missed the Christmas card this year. He must have.
If there were two tables at Hamburg Brewery, and Sean and McDermott had to sit with Matt or Jim Monas,
he'd sit with me.
You're not included. You are. No, actually, you might be included because I think you're on the hit list. Who would he pick?
That's a good question.
Jim. You would pick Jim.
I think he'd pick you. You're a football guy.
You're a football guy.
I also got him $5 million a year job.
You did get him the interview, and you did push more now. Hiring. That has to mean something.
I feel like I'm best friends with Sean. I'm going to call him tonight.
All right, man. Let's do it again soon, brother.
See you, Matt.
See you soon, fellas.
Cheers.